worship Him. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of the Almighty God we've already felt here today. God, we're so thankful that we can come into Your holy presence by the Spirit and power of the Holy Ghost and feel the anointing, feel the rush, the pulsating power of God's Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Sometimes when you stand up here after we've had such a great move of God, there's almost like, what else can you say? You know, but unfortunately, I'm here and I'm going to do by the will of God the best I can. The Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. It's kind of foolish when you think that a man could stand up here and speak words that would cause or entice someone to come and find the Lord. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to John, the first chapter, verse 38. All right. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. You may be seated. Praise God. Andrew had discovered the Messiah. Praise the Lord. And quite frankly, the Messiah had discovered him. He just didn't know what the sequence was. Title of my message this morning is Discover the Difference. Praise God. We have, for many years, used this phrase in our literature. In fact, I think it's still on the weekly reminder. Discover the difference. You know, the world is hungry for discovery. They're hungry for something new. They're looking for new technology. They even have a channel on television stations called the Discovery Channel. Anybody ever watch the Discovery Channel? You know, the world that we live in is very beautiful and exotic, and there's so many places that the most of us will probably never get to experience. And then, of course, in sales, we see salespeople are always challenging us to the next new iPod or the next new device that's going to expedite all the things in our life. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. You know, I think it's human nature for human beings to want to find a better and a more efficient way, discover different ways. In 1947, the first microwave was invented. It weighed 750 pounds. 750 pounds, and it cost about $5,000. Praise God. But they've discovered new ways in which to build the microwaves, and the technology, of course, has changed. And now you can buy one for under 10 pounds in weight and probably less than $100. I remember, Roy, back in 1983, my first cell phone. And I was the king of the block. I think John was working for me at the time. It was so funny. When I look back at it, this cell phone was the state of the art, and it came in a box that was as big as a shoebox. It was, and it had a strap on it, you know. And I walk into the job, you know, with this cell phone hanging on my back. Everybody says, "Wow, that is so cool! You mean you can actually call somebody from this thing?"
Yeah, I can. You want to see it?
Cool. Friday, I went to get my first smartphone. A phone that has more computer capacity than the first computer had by about 100 times. Of course, that computer would have filled half of this room. Now it's in a little thin, less than a deck of cards. And so we're always discovering different things. The technology today is unbelievable. Praise God. But I want you to know that God has his own discovery channel, if you will. There are things that God wants us to discover. He wants everybody in this room to discover the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to spend a few minutes to help somebody in this room discover the difference. This kingdom that we're talking about is a supernatural kingdom. It's not something that can be seen with the eyes. You can see the effect of it, but it's not governed by the laws of this planet. And I thank God for that, because there's nothing that we can receive from this world that will take our sins away. There's nothing in this world that can give us peace or joy. But if you discover the kingdom of God, if you really discover the kingdom of God, things will begin to open up to you, and you'll see the difference. You'll feel the difference. You'll understand there is a difference in your life. As you look around here, I know many of you, if you're a first-time visitor, you might think everybody is so righteous and clean and pure and holy. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Paul explains what kind of people are in his church. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, knowing not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Praise God. But such were some of you. But ye are washed. I don't know if that excites you anymore, but you are washed. Praise God. You are sanctified. But you are justified. Justified means just as if you have never committed a sin. If you have discovered this kingdom we're talking about, this is the inheritance that's inside of you. Praise God. And I'm so excited to see what God's doing in the lives of so many of you right here at Calvary Gospel Church. You know, Satan is working diligently 24/7, and he tempts people to discover the wonderful drug and alcohol products that are on the marketplace today. He wants you to get involved with things that are contrary to the kingdom and the spirit of God. He diligently works upon our minds through so many subtle ways, through magazines, through billboards, through commercials, through all these things of the world. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, praise God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Because there is a kingdom that God wants to translate someone into today. He wants somebody in this room today to discover the difference. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before you know it, if you don't understand how this is played out in the supernatural realm, you'll find yourself entangled in a web of addictions, a web of circumstances that even though you may have allowed some of these things to get into your life, sin does not just come and stay in the same shape that it came into you. It has the ability to grow and grow and grow until that little sin that you may have thought was so insignificant so many years ago. I remember my first drag on a cigarette. My goodness, I almost died. I puked and my head was spinning and oh my God, this is horrible. I said, I'll never do this again, at least until tomorrow. See, what we don't understand about Satan's kingdom, he's trying to do what God's doing, only his is all in reverse. He's trying to seek to kill and destroy you. He wants you to explore his kingdom. He wants you to explore your natural inner being. All of these Eastern religions are continually talking about the inner you, the self, the part of you that you can control, and don't worry. That one. It's all right. I'm going to continue. My wife says my voice is so loud I don't need a microphone. You're not supposed to laugh at that. Oh, hallelujah. You know, a lot of us got involved in things when we were young, Brother Merckx. We didn't understand. We didn't know that these things were going to someday put us in bondage. Did you ever think about being in bondage before you got in bondage? Did you ever think that because you wouldn't forgive somebody that you could get entangled in a web of bitterness and bound? Did you ever think about that? I didn't give it any thought. So I don't know if you've ever read anything about Pandora's box. It's a fable, but it was this box that was in this little girl's attic. And in that box, she didn't know what it was, but she was told, don't open that. Don't get involved in that. Don't let that box open. And of course, human nature, she wanted to discover what was in that box. And lo and behold, as she opened up that box, all these evil spirits and all these demonic forces came out. Praise God. And I know one thing, that if you're not careful, you can become so bound into the world and the things of this world that it takes nothing less than a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit that you would discover that there is a difference. If you look around here today, if you're a visitor, I just want to encourage you. You could reach out in any direction and you could find somebody within the reach of your hand, no doubt, that has discovered the difference. How many of you have discovered the difference? How many of you have had your life transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is an old hymn that I love to sing because I relate to exactly what the words say. Amazing grace, how sweet thou art, to have saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. If you can sing that song and feel really good about it, let me tell you something. You have discovered the kingdom of God because it does have no bearing on your righteousness. It has no bearing upon who you are. It has everything to do with discovering what Jesus Christ can do once you allow him and you get into his kingdom. The only thing, Brother Roy, that I regret is that it took me so many years. I was 38 years old when I discovered the kingdom of God. I was broken. I was wretched. I was lost. I was lonely. I had destroyed my life and my family and everything that had any meaning in it. And then I discovered Jesus. I should say Jesus discovered me. He'd been there all the time. He's not far from any one of us. It's not as if God's hiding himself. He is desperately seeking to save that which is lost. He's desperately trying to turn you away from the world and the things of the world and the thought process of the world and bring you to a place where you see that you are a wretch, that you are lost, that you are undone, that you have no hope without Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands. Hallelujah. 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 This is why we have church. We want you to discover the difference between a baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, saint of the living God. we're not talking about a sugar-coated gospel here. We're talking about the power of God. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I remember clearly laying on a bed at St. Mary's Hospital for 17 days. And the fear of death encompassed me like a cloud. I couldn't think. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get my thoughts together. And pain was racking my body. Is there a God? Oh, praise God. And then I discovered there was a God. And if I would seek that God, He would transform me. And if I seek that God, He would help me find my way. And I began to discover some things in the Holy Ghost. I discovered Jesus. I discovered the joy of the Holy Ghost. I discovered the God of creation. Praise God. And I also discovered the joy of godly sorrow. Godly sorrow, the Bible says. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7:10. Some of you are sitting here today in the midst of the worst trial or the worst circumstances of your life. And you're looking all over thinking, what can I do? How can I get out of this? Praise God. I want you to discover something today. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Sometimes as men, we don't like to show emotion. We don't like to let people know that we have weaknesses. We have a lot of times men will come up to the altar and their heart's burning and they know they need God, and yet they just don't seem to have the ability to break down and cry and call upon the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:10, the Bible says, godly sorrow brings repentance that what? Leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Brother Dan, you ever regretted that you got down your hands and knees and prayed and sought God and the tears came down and you filled the altar with some of the products from your nose? Praise God. I don't like to call it snot. Oh, I just did. But think about it. It's the very thing that was trying to destroy you is the very thing God uses to lead you to repentance. You would never discover repentance if it had not been for the circumstances that you are presently in. And the reason some people have such a hard time following after God is they have not repented. They have not allowed themselves to be broken. The first breaking is just the beginning. There's so much inside of you, it's like a junk heap. You got to dig in there. Like this one lady that was just baptized, she says, I got all this junk in my trunk. And listen, so do you. You know, it can be under the blood, but the junk in your trunk keeps coming back out. It keeps popping up. You push the lid down and you stand on it. You lock it. A week later, kaboom. You look back and say, oh no, it's still following me. You got to take it out of the trunk. You got to put it on the altar. You got to get yourself to a point where you say, all right, I'm ready. I want to discover what it really means to be free. And when the Son shall set me free, I shall be free indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want joy unspeakable and the full of glory, you need to get the junk out of your trunk. You need to allow yourself to be free. Don't hide things. Take them out. Declare what your problem is and put yourself on the altar. He will deliver you from your alcoholic problem. He will touch your heart. He will take lust. He'll take everything out of you that's not supposed to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody relate to me what it felt like coming out of the waters of baptism? I mean, can anybody explain that, Brother Gemeinder? Can anybody put it in words? When every sin that you've ever committed, ...38 years of sin washed away. Why? Because godly sorrow. Repentance leads you to salvation. You know why a lot of folks don't come to the altar? They think that they're somehow hiding these things from God, that somehow God has not been keeping score. Oh, my, 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 how silly is it to think that the one who said, let there be light, who spoke the worlds into creation, who has provided you and I a way to discover him, it's not painful. The painful thing is put yourself in subjection to the spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so many things are discovered after you get your initial infilling of God's Holy Spirit. Because every spiritual force that's been in you or around you have bound you is gone. It has no longer has any power over you. Praise God. So there you are. But that is not the end of the discovery. One of the greatest discoveries I found since I came in here was the very first lesson in Christian stewardship. Pastor Grant taught us how to appropriate a blessing. I said, wow, you mean to tell me that he not only saved my soul, but he's going to take care of all of my financial needs? When I discovered that, I said, oh, I can't wait till we start tithing. Woo! He said he'd take care of all my need according to his riches and glory. He said he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings unto me. That the world, and plus, he's going to rebuke the devourer. How cool is that? How awesome is it to know, praise God, that God has promised not only to save your soul, but to keep you in a position financially that will keep you without problem financially. Except if you overspend. That's the problem. See, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, we discover a new car. We discover a new boat. I know because I discovered all these things. And this insatiable urge came over me to buy it. God says, don't do that. I said, but Lord, you promised to take care of all my need. Please? Just go ahead. And then we start adding more junk in the trunk. More things that we really don't need. And I'm not against things. I'm not against having nice homes. God's given me a home that I wake up in the morning and I walk through the house and I just kind of worship the Lord and weep because I cannot believe this is my house. I think I'm at a bed and breakfast, but I love it. Thank you, Jesus. How to appropriate a blessing, how to open up the windows of heaven, how to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, how to have peace that passeth all human understanding. Wow. You get all that just because you broke down at a Pentecostal altar and asked God to forgive you for something that was going to send your soul to hell anyway. Either pay me now, as the old mechanic used to say, or pay me later. If you don't want to change your oil, that's all right. Brother Merkus will take care of you. He'll fix you right up. New engine, that'd be about $3,342. I know. But I wasn't negligent. I just... Oh, well. Praise God. The wonderful thing about this whole business of discovering God is not based upon you. It's not based upon what you bring to God. He's not impressed with how you dress. He's not impressed with what you have or do not have. He doesn't care how good you think you are. The Bible says that our righteousness, or what we consider to be righteousness, is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So, you know, if you try to impress God, it's not going to work. The only thing that will really, really impress God is a humble spirit, a spirit that is broken, a spirit that has decided that they need God more than anything. When you discover that, you're well on your way to having not only peace that passeth all understanding, but your whole life begins to make sense. Praise God. I know I was amazed when I discovered that, you know, God has a plan for my body, my physical body. And Pastor Roy is over here. He's one of the many, many people that have experience a manifestation of God's healing in his body. Had this not happened, If you don't know, Roy tore his ACL. And not only tore it, but he ripped it up good. And they told him that one tendon was down by his ankle and one was up here. So what they're going to do, when I heard about this, I almost vomited. They're going to pull this one up and pull that one down. Then they're going to put a screw in it. Into his kneecap, of course. And they're going to reattach it. Oh, Roy, could you tell me what happened?
Don't kick me. Actually, I was just sitting here thinking, it was 1 year ago next week that when I first started having some major problems, I'd had some knee issues for many, many years, and it goes back to stupidity as a teenager and motorcycles and all of that stuff. But my knee, it kept giving me more and more problems, and I'd gone in, and it was touched twice, the morning of touch twice, about 7 o'clock in the morning, my knee, I mean, it just went out. And Brother Phil Demas was pushing me around in a chair, office chair, and we were kind of making fun of it and such. But if you've ever had a knee problem or you ever had your knee go out, I think you can relate to that. And part of my problem was it's always easy, Brother Rich, to believe that God's going to heal someone else. But it's different when it's your knee. And you start saying, okay, I went to the doctor and they took an MRI. And of course, as Brother Thomas said, part of the ACL was there and the other part of it, the doctor said, this is where it's supposed to be and it's not there. And we want to go in and pull a tendon out of your hamstring and we want to rebuild this and put some screws and all this. And I started to think about all of this pain and I talked with my aunt who works in a rehab center in Texas, and this is what she works with. And she said, this is very excruciating. It's 6 to 8 weeks recovery and plan on it taking some time. And you know, I'm not the most, I don't do real well sitting still for very long. And I'm thinking, Lord, there's got to be a better solution to this. But it comes down to faith. And I struggle with this. And brother, we had a special service. And I think it was our anniversary, my father's anniversary service last year. And Brother Felix Trotter was here. And of course, Brother Thomas, he comes over and he drags me out here, right about this spot right here. And I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm just being honest with you. I'm a little bit embarrassed. And Brother Thomas and all of his great faith said, Brother Felix, he needs a healing. And Brother Felix, you know, he says, well, am I going to know are you going to know if you're healed? And I'm like, yes, I'll know if I'm healed. You know, I can't kneel down. There's so many things I can't do. And I've struggled with this for a few months now. And they begin to pray for me. And Brother Felix looks at me and he says, okay, try it out. Well, how many of you have ever been put in that kind of a situation where that you've been prayed for? And to be honest with you, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel like this huge bolt of electricity went from my foot all the way up to the top of my head. And I didn't feel anything other than Brother Felix, the pressure and the heat growing around my collar saying, try it out. Try it out. How are you going to know? So I got up here and I started to try it out. And I started to jump around and jump up and down and kneel down. And my wife has warned me. She says, you're going to blow your other knee out trying to show everybody how God healed your knee. But just for the sake of that, God healed my knee. And I haven't had any problems with it. God is an awesome God, and I just want to encourage you here this morning. If you're here this morning and you have a sickness in your body, sometimes it's the hardest thing to have faith for yourself. But if you come up here to the altar, there are brothers and sisters that have faith, and God will take and use them to see a healing and a miracle in your body.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know it's very dangerous to put a microphone in the hand of a preacher. Praise God. You know, there's other issues as we come to God with this bundle of situations and this bundle of problems. And one of the problems that many of us come in here is the not just the physical problems and sometimes mental issues or whatever, but When I first discovered the unconditional love of God that I found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not a love that's based upon anything that the world even considers love. The Bible says that God is love, but how do you translate that into your life? It means that I have the ability within me by the Holy Spirit to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not there, but I know there's a starting point, and I can discover new dimensions as long as I'm willing to move forward, as long as I'm willing to allow myself to discover new dimensions. And the other thing that really impressed me about this love is that the love that I have for my wife and my children has superseded anything that I had ever imagined possible. And the love that we can have between my precious brothers and sisters, it has no bearing upon anything other than God is love. God is love. You have to think about this. If you have not discovered it, you know, when you get in a circumstance of your life you can't do anything about it. But this body of people right here will come to your rescue. The Holy Spirit of the living God will talk and minister to them, and they'll minister to you. Paul defines love in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. He said, love is patience, kind, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not easily angered, does not keep score. Praise God, that's something we all work on. Does not rejoice in evil, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Praise God. The Bible tells us that God is looking for people to discover Him. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, if you're thirsty here this morning, if you are hungry for discovery, come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Does that sound like a God that throws lightning bolts down from heaven? He's not willing that any one person should perish, but every one of us should come to a place of repentance that would produce godly sorrow, that would lead us to salvation. How many people are saved here this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Last week I had a young man come into my office, and he'd been diligently seeking the Holy Ghost, and he'd been involved in another religion for a good number of years. Very, very sincere, very, really, really nice young man. And we talked for some time, and I could see that the hunger that he had inside of him, he was about to discover something that he had never seen before. And I could see many revelations coming to him, things that he had not considered before. They were kind of connecting. Water baptism in Jesus' name. The infilling of God's Holy Spirit. You know, so many folks are saying water baptism is, you can do it any old way you want to, and you can do it in the name of any old name that you want to, but that's not what the Bible says. And he saw that. One of the greatest revelations that he was seeing is that Jesus is God. He's not one of the three, he is God. God manifested in the flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, one of the discoveries that I made after being here for a couple of years is that the joy that I felt in the Holy Ghost when I was first saved, there's another dimension of discovery, and I discovered that this, what God had given me, was designed for me to give back to somebody else, that I could reach back into a world that was lost and dying. And just by preparing myself with some prayer and put some scriptures in my heart, that I could reach out into the hearts and minds of men and women and put something in them, plant a seed in them, that they would become hungry for discovery. People see you in... I'm hot today. People see you in the workplace. They want to discover what it is in you that they feel when they get around you. Now, sometimes you raise up devils. Praise God for that. Praise God when your good is evil spoken of. But more than that, people who are hungry, people who are thirsting for something real, you have been chosen by God to help them discover the truth. And that same truth that set you free will set them free. That same truth that you have in your spirit becomes available to them. There is no greater joy, in my estimation, than being part of this gospel. Whether you plant the seed, whether you water it with your tears, whether you teach a Sunday school class, any part that you personally play, that is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's where you renew your strength. This is where you renew your mind into understanding that this is God's will for your life. Praise God. The joy of helping and sowing seeds. A couple of weeks ago, we baptized a lady who has had cancer and brain issues, and all kinds of things have come upon her in the last 8.5 years. Didn't know anything about God. Didn't know she'd been raised in a denominational and then into an Indian religion. And no clue. The only thing she knew was somebody called her from the church up in Spooner, told her that she needed to talk to someone from a Pentecostal church. And I happened to be the person that got a hold of her, went over to her house. And within 2 minutes, she was speaking in other tongues as a spirit of God. She was seeking. She was looking. She said, I'm hungry. She says, I don't care about my healing. My friend wants me to pray for healing. She says, but I want to know God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. 3 John 1:3. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. When you walk in truth, you're going to be sowing seed, and some of that seed's going to fall on good ground, and you're going to see some of that seed producing fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And when you have had a part in anybody's salvation, we know it's God who saves people, but you know, without us, God can't really do anything, because we are His eyes, His ears, His nose, and His mouth. It's up to us to spread this gospel. So when we are part of this church, anytime a new convert comes up here and is baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we give them a certificate. You ought to have both your hands up. I don't care if you know them or not. That's my brother. That's my sister. Those are the very people. This is why we're having church. This is why we come together to seek and save that which is lost. This is what we do. This is our product. This is, if we're a manufacturing plant, this is what we produce. And because on an assembly line, everybody does something a little different. So don't feel like you're not part of this. If it wasn't for you, this would not happen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you'd stand with me this morning. I know one thing today, that there are some people here that need to discover healing. There's people here that need to discover deliverance. There are people here that need to discover financial peace. But more than that, there are people here this morning that need to be born. They need to discover the kingdom of God and His righteousness. John 3:4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus told him, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if anybody is here today and has never been born again and really don't understand what that means, let me take you to the apex of our doctrine. This is what we believe. This is what we teach. This is what we believe you must do according to Peter, who was the spokesperson for the New Testament church. This is the message that he preached when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, I want to be saved, but what do I have to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Let me just add this one thing. If this scripture no longer excites you, you need to go back to the altar, because this is what saved us. Then Peter said unto them, repent. that is turn from sin. Understand that you are a sinner. And be baptized, every one of you that is baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Every sin that you've ever committed from the day you are accountable till today, you will be released from. They'll not be held accountable. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Would you lift up your hands? Would you be willing to come up here and confess your sins before God and man? Or do you want to leave this building without any real discovery? If you need a healing in your body, come over here to my right. We believe that God is in the healing business. If you're struggling with issues of life and you can't seem to get your act together, discover the difference what it's going to make when you ask God to get a hold of you. If your heart's not right with God, don't leave this building tonight, today, unless you have the right perspective. The God who made this world is here this morning. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, have never been filled with His Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in new languages, I encourage you to come forward.